You're listening to Breadbox Media. Find out more at breadboxmedia.com.
Leo Brown, almost an hour. Culture, current events, our Catholic faith, 50 minutes every afternoon. Lots to talk about this afternoon. Betsy DeVos, in her confirmation hearings with Senator Tim Kaine, just really getting an interesting array of questions that she seems to want to defer or not answer. We'll get into that. A lot of concern, I think, over this particular pick and what it means for public education. Is there a silver lining when it comes to Catholic education? We'll talk about that. Also, outrage over the Vatican issuing a stamp featuring Martin Luther. How dare they? 500 years after the Reformation. What are they thinking? Speaking of stamps, Forever Stamps going up over the weekend. So if you want to stock up now, that would be your time. I wish I'd have stocked up 10 years ago. When did we start this whole thing? I think it's performing better than the stock market, if you ask me. So could be some stock in stamps, should you choose. Also want to get into some of this conversation I've been having over the past couple of days on Facebook when it comes to abortion stance, when it comes to listening, when it comes to women, culture, proper ways of handling ourselves in this situation. We'll discuss all of that and more. I'm Leo Brown. Leo Brown Almost Hour. Back after this.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
Good afternoon, we're back. I'm Leo Brown. Leo Brown, almost our culture, current events, our Catholic faith, 50 minutes every afternoon. Paul McCartney suing Sony to try to get the rights back to many of his songs that Michael Jackson once owned. Bizarre the way the music business works, right? You can write a song, it could be yours, the rights could go away. You could sell those rights, someone else could be making money off of your music. Now, basically trying to stand on this copyright statute to say, isn't it time that these things came back to me? But pretty crazy. I mean, to think about, if he performs these songs, then he has to pay for them based on the way it's set up now. It's a little bit crazy, right? Like, you could say, well, he's probably got enough money to handle it. But I think there's also principle here. And why they slipped away at the beginning, I don't know. I don't know why the catalog was sold and eventually ended up in the hands of Michael Jackson. Bizarre, right? But lawsuit underway to get the rights back. And man, believe me, knowing what little I know, which is little, quite honestly, even though I spent a lot of time in rock radio, what little I know of the music industry, crazy stuff when it comes to people trying to own artists and their material, their catalogs, their music. It's cutthroat. It's very, very, very unfortunate. Speaking of cutthroat, it's kind of that time when it comes to the confirmation hearings and what's going to happen to Betsy DeVos. I think is one of the bigger questions, because here's a woman who is certainly an advocate for charter schools, for private education. And the question, at least the ones presented by Senator Tim Kaine, former vice presidential hopeful, was, would you hold these institutions receiving taxpayer funding to the same standard as any other school? That was a simple question, which to me, I think the answer should be yes, unquestionably yes, because it was simple things like The Students with Disabilities Act, I think maybe is what he was referring to, something of that nature, in reference to should these schools have to have a degree of expectation based on the fact that they're receiving federal funds, a question that she was not willing to answer. And I think that this is where it kind of comes down, it's probably most confusing, is that the plan certainly is, and it has been enacted in states, and I think we could see a federal program as well that would allow vouchers. Basically, this says you're a taxpayer, you pay for education through taxes, therefore that tax voucher could go to pay for a private education outside of the public education arena. So if you're doing that and you require, so if you're doing that, then automatically you're subsidized, right? There's a tax subsidy to that organization. Therefore, should that organization have to comply by the same standards? Which, for whatever reason, I guess, I don't know. I don't know if it's, well, I want the government to stay out. Because I think there could always be provisioning, and this wasn't, Kane was not asking, so for a private school, does that mean no prayer, right? Getting taxpayer funding, so no prayer in school. I don't think that was the question. I think the question was more just when it comes to students' welfare, like especially students with disabilities. Should these schools be required to have the same standards if they're getting taxpayer-funded assistance? Which I think seems like an easy answer, but maybe it's not. And maybe there's other twists and turns that I'm not seeing when it comes to federal regulation that maybe we should be concerned about. But to me, it's like, well, yeah, why wouldn't we? I don't know. Kind of how I would answer it. Yeah, right? Why not? You got federal funding coming our way. Why would we not do that? Instead of saying, I think it needs to be a state question. That's a question for the state to answer. At what point Senator Kane said, so what you're saying is people should just have to move to the state that they find appropriate for what it is they're looking for, which of course we know is horribly impractical for families and students to do. It just doesn't really make sense. I mean, I'm not sure that that's what she was saying. Just have them move and they'll find what they want. But she did say, I think that needs to come down to the state. Which, I may be wrong, and I am plenty of times, so I get it. But tell me if this doesn't sound like somewhat of a double standard. Because one thing that I think conservatives want is this flexibility when it comes to school choice and not to comply by federal standards. I think, I may be wrong, that's what I'm hearing, at least from the answers of DeVos. We shouldn't be held to that standard. Private, charter schools, whatever, should be able to do what they want, and regardless, who cares? That's what I hear. That may not be true, but that's what I hear. While at the same time, I think conservatives would say abortuaries need to have standards, need to have the same standards across the board. And this was the Texas legislation, which closed 98% of the abortuaries there, which was challenged in a court case that basically said it's binding because the Supreme Court refused to hear it. So it is now, they can do whatever they want. They don't have to comply by a higher standard. So, yeah, I think that there's a little bit, and again, maybe I'm not seeing something here, but I think there's a little bit of a double standard. Do we want compliance, or do we want compliance for those things which we don't like because it would place undue pressure? Now, I'm all for placing pressure on abortuaries, and if we bring the standards up and it closes 98% of them, well, that should tell you something. That right there should tell you something. That the standards aren't up to snuff and they need to be, and that is at least a step in the right direction if You truly believe you want abortion to be safe, legal, and rare. I want education standards, especially when it comes to students with disabilities. I want those standards to be as uniform as possible. Not that I have a disabled child, but I have a type 1 diabetic son who requires certain specific things. Unfortunately, the school that he attends complies with what is necessary on the national level to allow him to have the freedom to do what he needs to do as a type 1 diabetic, because there's different things that have to take place every day. He's got to do a bunch of different stuff that other kids don't have to do. Unfortunately, he's afforded that. But what if a school said, well, we don't have to do that? You don't have to comply with that. Well, then you could say it's the free market dynamic of going where you want to go based on the school that gives you what you want to get. But this is a very, very interesting question. And one that I'm personally wrestling with, I got to be honest, because I want to support private education, especially Catholic education. I want to have that opportunity for my children. I want to have that opportunity for any child. While at the same time, I don't want to be Mr. Double Standard. I don't want to do that. I don't want to say that something's okay for me and it's not for someone else. I don't want to be disingenuous when it comes to the way, if I don't want special treatment, right? I'm not looking at getting treated with any sort of extra anything. It's all, let's keep the playing field as level as possible. That's what we need to be able to do. So we all have basic rights and we're afforded certain expectations. The one thing I've said repeatedly that I think the public education system could really be the key to cultural change if we chose to let it be that. Don't think we're good at that. Still think we come through the public education system with all of the baggage culturally, racially, societally, socioeconomically, you name it. All of this is still just as challenged there, unfortunately. Love to see that move in a different direction. Right now, confirmation hearings are basically saying this. There's just some basic questions that we want to have answered. And so far, there's been interesting responses. Al Franken asking questions about just school performance, right? Competency versus growth, I think is what it was, or don't ask me the details of that exactly, but something of that nature. And where should we be putting the standards when it comes to kids' proficiency? That's what it was. Proficiency versus growth, right? Where should this emphasis really be? And kind of appeared as though DeVos wasn't even able to answer that question. So interesting. And I think, come on, education's important. So we got to think about all of this and where it needs to go, even though it's largely out of our hands right now. More to come. We'll be back in a moment. I'm Leo Brown. Leo Brown, Almost Hour. Back after this.
If you enjoy listening to the Leo Brown Almost Hour, consider becoming a friend of the show. Go to breadboxmedia.com and click on Friend of the Show to provide your support. Thank you. You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.
We're back. I'm Leo Brown. Leo Brown, Almost Hour, Culture, Current Events, Hour, Catholic Faith, 50 minutes every afternoon. Tomorrow is the big day, Inauguration Day. List of performers who will be there. I put over on my Facebook page, found it over on USA Today. Thank you for that. Lee Greenwood, apparently, going to be there. Toby Keith. These guys not concerned about liberal backlash to their careers. Goodness, no. All is good right there. Just to name a couple of those who will be performing, and it'll be apparently not the best weather day. So I don't know what's planned outdoors and how they're planning on that, but got some rainy weather moving through, so we'll see where it all goes. But the history of this event will, regardless of performer, be what it is. Just as every inauguration is, but I think we've had a lot of interesting anticipation leading up to this. And then, no longer after tomorrow, president-elect, but President Trump, we will say, at least for the next few years. Well, and then once president, always president, right? You get to just keep that title. Always keep that title, interestingly enough. So it turns out the Vatican has issued a commemorative stamp in celebration, if you will, of Martin Luther. Martin Luther, the reformer, 500 years ago, who basically ushered in the Protestant Reformation. There are those who are concerned about this and somewhat up in arms about it, because it seems as though, I suppose, to some, that there's just a wholesale endorsement, perhaps, of Luther and his practices, his attitudes, ideals. I think the one thing we got to remember is that Martin Luther was a Catholic priest who decided to question a handful of things, I guess 99 things, so a little bit more than a handful, but he questioned a few things to say, you know, is this where we need to be? Now, Pope Francis has come out and said, were the Protestant Reformation, let's put it this way, if the 99 theses had been tacked on the church door today, all of that could be addressed easily in a sense of saying, these are non-issues. Really, they're just non-issues. Let's work through this. Let's walk through this. We'll discuss it. The other thing I would say, in this day and age of interconnectedness and internet technology, this isolation that happened with Luther and also with King Henry VIII, these isolation pockets of kind of schismatic growths and pockets, I don't know that they could happen. I just don't know that you would have that opportunity for anything of that nature to happen now. I don't know. I don't see how that could happen. But we have, regardless, we've had a Reformation. 500 years later, we're issuing a stamp from the Vatican with Martin Luther's image on it. And the question is that a bad thing? Some think so. The article I posted was rather critical of this idea. LifeSite News, pretty critical of much that the Pope Francis, reign as Pope, has brought. They seem to kind of have a bone to pick. But there are those asking, is this good? Now, here's what I think. And I know it's not a popular position. But I think anytime we reach out and we do whatever we can to reach into the areas of separation, reach into those areas that are at this point multi-fragmented, 30,000 plus fragments. But if we start reaching into those fragments to potentially heal and reassemble, that's good. Now, what I said on Facebook yesterday, whenever you try to meet people where they are, there are always going to be those who just assume that you left them where they were.
that's going to happen.
So what we're experiencing now, at least in these questions and those who are saying, well, how dare the Vatican do that? How dare Pope Francis do that? These individuals are thinking they're being left where they were. And we don't see this kind of stuff because we're just blind. I get it. And we think we're entitled. I understand. But you look at the story of the prodigal son. We applaud the son for turning around. We look at the gracious nature of the father and this lavish willingness just to give this son everything imaginable, which kind of seems almost foolish, especially for somebody who has kind of been not the best. But it's certainly this illustration of what God will do for us. The beautiful abundance that is afforded to us all as children of God. And then we see the brother of the prodigal son, who is there with a very different attitude. And this attitude of, why would you do that? Because see, when he sees the father running out to meet the son, who is returning, he's assuming that part of that running out to meet the son is an abandonment of him. And the father tries to reassure him and say, no, you've been here with me. This is good. Your son was lost. He's found. We're just celebrating this. Well, you never did that for me. Well, you've been here. And I think that at times we unfortunately can fall into that trap of saying, well, why are we reaching out over there? How dare we do that? Commemorative stamp. What is that? I didn't get a commemorative stamp. Right. I've been faithful this entire time. I've always been here. How am I not getting a commemorative stamp? How has this happened to these guys and not to me? So it's easy, I realize, to have this degree of blindedness that simply we don't know that we're that the brother. We don't know that. My guess is if we were to be anyone in that equation, we would want to be the father. We would want to be the one who is capable of giving and lavishing, I think, right? For me, I generally do well to be the prodigal, right? Am I really trying to do the will of my father? Or am I just being like that prodigal son and basically just squandering inheritance? Am I just not being a good steward? Am I doing really stupid things? Yes. Right. Yes. If I'm honest, yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Guilty as charged of all of that. Do stupid stuff. Screw up. Make mistakes. Make the same mistakes. Do the mistakes again. Don't really do a good job of turning around. Don't really do a good job of reaching back toward God. But you know what? He's always out there running out there. He's going to do it for all of us. And those who are there by his side, who don't need commemorative stamps, it's sometimes easy to think you need one or you deserve one. When in reality, what we need to consider is that, you know what, this is this is regardless of stamp. The grace is there. Regardless of what you think you deserve. It's all for all of us. And sometimes making that extra effort toward those who have been disenfranchised, even if they disenfranchised themselves 500 years ago, they're not the ones disenfranchising now, right? I mean, we got to realize that. So maybe taking that step to go, well, what if we did something for them? To recognize someone who was certainly once part of us, maybe that would be a way to say, hey, we're here for you. Not such a bad thing in the grand scheme of things, and possibly an opportunity to bring others in and back and make it all work the way it's supposed to work, right? Could be. More to come. We'll be back in a moment. I'm Leo Brown, Leo Brown Almost Hour. Back after this.
If you enjoy listening to the Leo Brown Almost Hour, consider becoming a friend of the show. Go to breadboxmedia.com and click on Friend of the Show to provide your support. Thank you.
Good afternoon. I'm Leo Brown, Leo Brown Almost Hour, Culture, Current Events. I'm Catholic Faith, 50 minutes every afternoon. Been talking a lot about this because it has come up in our local news where we are here in Lexington, Kentucky, the home of Redbox Media. The last remaining abortion clinic in the town of Lexington, which at one time had four, now is gone. So abortions no more in the town of Lexington. There's been a lot of prayer, a lot of action, a lot of legislation, lots of, you name it, lots of efforts to try to stem this challenge, which I think many would say you can close the facilities and still there are going to be those who will find ways to make things happen. We know that. And the position I've been trying to take is maybe we need to listen to women, right? It seems to be that that's one of the points of sharpest criticism is that we're kind of male-dominated. We got a male governor who basically decreed this closing, and maybe it's time to listen to women. Now, I say that knowing full well that there are women who are pro-life. There are women who get it. There are women who can express themselves eloquently. I understand that. Therefore, I think, let's listen to them. And as I put this out there, as the thread began to grow and grow and grow, there were women who came up and began to have this conversation with each other. Both pro-life and pro-choice women. Pro-abortion and anti-abortion women began to have this conversation. And I know I've been criticized because how dare I have the audacity to say that men's voices don't matter. I'm saying let's offer the opportunity, simply offer the opportunity to let this issue be what the culture wants it to be. There's nothing wrong with that. We can maintain our stance of protecting the unborn and having nothing but compassion, nothing but the utmost concern for women who are both post-abortive and those who have made the choice to keep their child and either raise that child or make adoption plans, whatever. It's all you know, we say with such a heroic decision, and we think that those who have had abortions are simply cowardly. Let's just realize that they're people, right? It's not about heroism and cowards, heroes and cowards. It's not what this is about. It's about people, hurting people who, because of whatever emotional, physical, financial, social, relational, you name it, whatever challenge it was, they made a decision. It's a decision we don't like. It's a decision that undoubtedly has taken the life of a human being. All of this is true. But by the grace of God, would not be in that same situation? How can we throw stones? And I think that that's what a lot of this debate ends up looking like. And it just looks like some sort of stone throwing. I want to be sensitive to that. I want to be hypersensitive to that. I want to be so carefully sensitive that we ensure that that doesn't happen. Those voices are only voices of compassion, not voices of condemnation. And as crazy as it sounds, and I know it sounds crazy, because believe me, when I say things like this, people think, well, Leo, you're just affirming. You're just affirming them. And you're supportive, and you basically are pro-choice, and you're a pro-choice liberal just like the rest of them. Whatever, right? But here's what I think is crazy. It is, if we truly have nothing but compassion, and we're going to be there for women, because it's women who get abortions. It's not men. And you could say, well, men, you know, blah, blah, blah. Yes, let's assume that I'm intimately acquainted with decisions of this nature. Let's just assume that. And I know I'm still not the individual carrying a child. I'm not the individual having an abortion, not the individual having a child through pregnancy, through delivery. We don't have that. We don't have that dynamic. Men just don't. We don't have that insight. Okay? So understand that. So there is a particular, if we're going to say there's a primacy of life because there's something special about that human life, well, there's something special about the way that life is created. If we're going to say there's something special about our Blessed Virgin who was preserved from original sin, who was set aside to be the Ark of the New Covenant, to be the Mother of God, if we're going to say there's something special about this woman that is different in dynamism than that of Saint Joseph, then shouldn't we equally say there's something different about women in this equation than men? We need to see that. And we need to have nothing but compassion for those who have made a decision. Whatever that decision is, whether we like it or not, we still have to have compassion for them. Because the first decision that was simply a decision of throes of passion, and who among us have not had those feelings? Who among us have not been in the situation where we felt like we could not control ourselves because we're swept up, right? We just get swept up in this. I don't care how Christian you are. I've talked about this week on the show. I don't care how faithful your family is, how many prayers you've said, how many rosaries you say a day. You can be swept up in the emotion of romance call it lust, if you will, but this romantic notion that there's something beautiful happening and you're experiencing it, you're in the middle of this, you don't control yourself. We don't. Priests fall prey to this, who are amazingly faithful priests, who find themselves in a compromised situation with a divorced penitent. I can say that specifically because I know that guy. I know what happened to him. And he shared very personally with me many of the things that happened in that dynamic. Not saying his name. Don't have to worry about that. I'm protecting his anonymity, but this happens. Let's have some married people. Right? Who find themselves in the throes of passion with someone they're not married to. Happens with those who are unmarried, the young, especially when this new romance is beginning to blossom, these new feelings. These things happen. That's where we should have the most compassion, because we all know that. We all know that. We've been there. We've had that experience. We know what it's like. Now, the end result of that, as we are designed and wired, is to be co-creators in life. Absolutely. God might be trying to tell us something, should life result from that, that this is supposed to happen. And maybe it's supposed to happen that these people are supposed to get together. Not necessarily the married ones, but the pre-married, right? The premarital. Maybe that's the message that could be being shared here, at least to some degree, but it doesn't matter. None of that matters, because we all know that. We know that. We've been there. We know what that's like. Why would we have anything less but the utmost compassion for those who have made decisions, sometimes those decisions seemingly out of control, swept up in that emotion, heat of passion? We've been there. Why would we have anything but compassion? So take the step back and go, how did we arrive at this? Why are we so angry? Why are we so oppositional? Why are we so just charged with this crusade that seems like it's a crusade against people who've made decisions? Now let's have a heart of compassion. See where that goes. I think we'll find a very, very different outcome than even what we expect. So we have time for this afternoon. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Leo Brown. Leo Brown, Almost Hour. God bless.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.